This month on All Things Considered, we're looking at authors who write in or about New Hampshire. We start with a series of detective novels set in New Hampshire against the backdrop of a coming apocalypse. In the Edgar Award-winning first book, The Last Policeman, author Ben H. Winters introduced us to a young detective in Concord, Hank Pallas, trying to solve a murder while the world braces for a collision with a massive asteroid. The second book in the series has just been released. It's called Countdown City, and Ben H. Winters is back to tell us more about it. Nice to talk with you again.
Nice to see you, Brady. Thanks for having me in.
When we talked last year about The Last Policeman, you said that there was a hopeful tone in the book, because even with 6 months to go before this asteroid Maya is set to hit Earth, there were still people willing to do the right thing. In this book, there's 70-some days left to go. The city of Concord is devolving into violence. There's not as much to be hopeful about when the electricity is gone and the water supply could go at any moment.
Yeah. Well, it's a rough world out there, you know, in the few months before the world ends. But I do think there remains a hopeful tone, in part having to do with the way that people are in real life. I try as much as I can to imagine how the different kinds of people, the different kinds of institutions in our real world would evolve and would translate into this new world. For example, one of the locations in the new book is the campus of the University of New Hampshire. Basically, the students have taken over the campus and organized a bunch of committees and tried to figure out a way to turn the whole campus into a sort of collective where everyone can pursue whatever would make them the most happy before the world ends. I'm playing around with some of the ways that people in the real world organize themselves and some of the different ways we try to all get along with each other, and sort of intensifying that by saying, hey, the world's going to end in a few months, so what do you do? Of course, there are going to be some people who say, well, forget this. I am leaving home. I am going on a backpacking trip, or I'm going to go get drunk and stay that way. And some people who would say, I'm going to hunker down. I'm going to stay with my kids. I'm going to read books. I'm going to try and maintain what normalcy I can in the months to come. And what I've tried to do in creating Detective Pallas, it's New Hampshire, this Concord police detective, is create this one guy who says the best thing that I can do without even thinking about it is to keep doing my job. Not just because my job is about upholding law and justice, but also because that way I don't have to dwell too much on the devastation to come. I can really just do what I know how to do, which gives me some pleasure and stability.
And what makes that so compelling in the second book is that his job is technically no longer his job. He's not employed by the police force. He's What he gives up in the process of trying to solve this case is enormous. It almost makes you think there's more motivating Hank than the law and people in his life.
Well, that's interesting. I think one of the reasons that I wanted this to be a trilogy was to create this character who's hopefully interesting in the first book, but then keep pushing him and taking things away from him and making things harder for him and sort of saying to him as the author, well, now do you still care? Now do you still want to pursue justice? Now do you want to keep trying? See how far I can push him to solve crimes, because he just can't stop doing it. It just is what he is.
But as you say, I mean, part of it for Hank is that it does give him a break from impending tragedy. In a situation where I would be worrying about my personal safety or at least my food and water supplies, he's aggravated that there's no more coffee left in Concord.
Right. It becomes one of the running, almost a joke, but not quite a joke in Countdown City, is that he can't get a cup of coffee. Because as I've imagined the book, international trucking, international shipping, the sort of infrastructure of agriculture is all broken down. Because who's planting? Who's driving trucks? Who's flying planes? Who's piloting cargo ships? Where the book is set in New Hampshire, you can get cheese, you can get eggs, you can get probably, if you have something to barter for it, you can get a steak. But coffee, which is coming to us from South America and from Africa, it's becoming very, very rare. So Pallas, besides trying to solve this case, he spends the whole book trying to get a good cup of coffee at his favorite diner, which it's modeled on the Corner View Diner here in Concord. At his favorite diner, they sit there and they drink tea, which is, for him, a very poor substitute.
We only get this very narrow window into what's going on outside of the immediate area of New Hampshire and at one point the New Hampshire seacoast. But this is a time when half of the world's people are essentially in the impact zone of this asteroid. Does the other half need to take them in? And do they have a responsibility to take in these people? Then if so, does that answer change when their survival might be affected?
Right. Well, this is one of the ways that I hope a series like this can ask us to think about the real world that we live in. I do get into this question of immigration just a little bit, because the asteroid's going to hit on the other side of the world. People are coming in droves trying to get to the Western Hemisphere. which will not necessarily protect them. Most likely, everyone's going to die or at least end up in very, very bad straits, but they're still coming. And so what do we owe to these people? Is it just their rotten luck that they were born in Sumatra or China? Or do we, as a human people, should we be welcoming them and trying to all figure out together how to protect the world? And you can imagine a lot of people are saying, no way. You know what I mean? I've got this amount of space. I've got this amount of water, and I'm going to do my very best to protect me, maybe my family. But that is it. Increasingly, as I write, I'm realizing I'm getting into these moral questions, these bigger issues, which I love. It's just it's an exciting thing as a writer and hopefully as a reader, too.
The end of Countdown City, I won't spoil it, but there's a cliffhanger. A new case of sorts opens up for Hank with the caveat that there's a month and a half left to impact. So given where things stand on the last page, is there going to be much of a world left for him to investigate or, for that matter, for the asteroid to destroy?
You know, without trying not to spoil too much and also bearing in mind, it's not done yet. But I do, like I said before, I'm trying to write these books where I push him further and further out of his comfort zone. And now Hank is born and raised. All he's ever wanted to do is be a Concord policeman. By the beginning of the third book, he's further and further from what he knows and what he's comfortable with. He's sort of out in the woods, both literally and figuratively. So it's getting tougher and tougher out there.
Some writers get personally attached to their characters. Is it getting harder for you at all to push Hank, to write about him as he is really beginning to fulfill his potential as a detective, all the while knowing that he doesn't have that much time left, probably?
I love that question, Brady, because I do. There are times when I'm writing him when I realize he's getting better at this. He's more confident. He's sort of physically more agile. He understands detection more. He's less reliant on other people because he has to be. But there is a part of me that mourns for his road is going to end. And one of the themes I sort of touch on is people imagining what might have been. There's a small moment in The Last Policeman where Pallas is interrogating a witness. The witness's kid is upstairs getting ready for hockey practice. And the guy says to Pallas, "That kid's going to be a great, you know, he could be pro one day." And then he catches himself. Alternate dimension. And there's this constant theme of the world that might have been hovering over the world that is. We've all got an asteroid coming for us. You know, like, we're all going to get ours at some point. And all that I've really done, the sort of mild science fiction conceit of my mystery novels, is that I've said death is going to come, and it's going to come for everybody on this day. So how do you order your life based on that? But the bigger question is, how do you, Brady, and I, Ben, and how does everybody, how do we order our lives based on the fact that the figurative asteroid is coming?
And then maybe have a good cup of coffee while you can.
Exactly. While there's still time, get a cup of coffee at the corner of your diner.
The book is Countdown City. The author is Ben H. Winters. Great to talk with you again.
It's a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
One more cup of coffee for her. One more.